You're listening to Stoke FM 92.5 FM, broadcasting in Revelstoke. I'm Megan Dooling, and here's some news. Canadians are living through historic financial times. The Bank of Canada has raised interest rates by 5% over the past 18 months. This is an attempt to regulate high prices, also called inflation. But since Canadians are carrying higher debt than ever before, the higher interest rates are causing quite the financial squeeze. The bank announced this morning that interest rates will stay the same for now, with another announcement expected on December 6. Recent data shows that over half of Canadians are putting more than 30% of their income towards housing. This comes from a survey done by RateFilter, an online mortgage marketplace.
RateFilter.ca is a platform for Canadian mortgage holders and soon-to-be mortgage holders to search and compare different mortgage rates and products online.
Kind of like a cheap flight finder?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. I understand that RateFilter commissioned a company called Ledger to do a survey. Tell me about that survey.
Yeah, so we surveyed 1,500 people in Canada and essentially figured out that, you know, Canadians are pretty stretched at this time, not too surprising given the change in the market. But, you know, 51% of people surveyed mentioned that they wouldn't be able to last more than 3 months without missing a mortgage payment. And then 62% of people surveyed mentioned that they were spending about 37% of their pre-tax income on housing, which is a little bit higher than what the CMHC guideline would be for people to spend about 30% of their pre-tax income on housing.
And was this the first survey that you had done, or do you have prior results recently to compare it to?
We don't have a lot of prior results, but in 2021, the census had about 30% of Canadians spending more than 30% of their pre-tax income on housing. You know, our survey almost doubled that amount. And so that was a pretty shocking statistic, albeit, you know, a smaller sample size than the census.
How did the company choose who to survey?
Well, the survey is done through an online platform. So individuals who have signed up through, it's called Leo, which is the online platform that Ledger uses to survey, those individuals were the ones surveyed. So, you know, it was kind of spread out across Canada with about 670 of them being in Ontario. So we are a little bit more weighted in that survey towards Ontario. There was only about 200 in BC that were surveyed.
Okay, interesting. And in the press release sent out by Paul, it mentioned that the Bank of Canada is going to make a decision, another decision on interest rates tomorrow. So do you want to talk to me about, of course, interest rates affect how much people pay on their mortgage, and but just talk about why it's important to bring up the cost of how cost of housing is affecting people now when the Bank of Canada is making another interest rate decision?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've gone through, you know, a very exceptional rate increase over the past 18 months. The Bank of Canada, if you look at the forward curves for tomorrow, and there's another Bank of Canada meeting in December, December 6th, the expectation right now is that there's only a 13% chance that the Bank of Canada is going to raise interest rates again here in 2023. So the markets are pricing in that the Bank of Canada is effectively done with their interest rate hikes. That being said, it doesn't really provide a lot of relief to homeowners or, you know, anybody with a mortgage that is already pretty stretched, seeing their interest rate go up dramatically over the past 18 months.
Why did RateFilter do this survey?
Yeah, I think we did this survey to kind of test the waters and see how, you know, how Canadian homeowners were being impacted by this really remarkable interest rate change over the past 18 months. Policymakers and the Bank of Canada, I mean, the Bank of Canada kind of has a very blunt tool and to impact the economy. And they're really trying their very best to keep inflation under control. We are seeing the numbers come down, which is one of the reasons why the forward markets are pricing in no more rate increases and some rate cuts here coming in 2024 and 2025. But it's a tough, we're just living through some pretty historic times, and it's really good to kind of calculate the data and kind of see the sentiment at some of these things that may be close to a top on the interest rates for now.
What could policymakers do? Do we just ride this out, or is there things that could be done that could help people and the economy out?
Well, I think increasing supply, housing supply, is probably the biggest lever that policymakers could pull on. You know, one of the problems is, and I mean, you guys see it in Revelstoke, is that there's not a lot of area to build, right? You're constrained by a lot of park and forest land around. And so there's only so much supply that can be brought onto the market to try to alleviate some of this issue. We see a similar thing here in Vancouver, where there's not a lot of extra area to build, and the costs to build are quite high. So it's all very dynamic, and over time, the market kind of balances itself out, for better or for worse. But I think policymakers, as well as the Bank of Canada, they only have certain kind of levers to pull on, and there's not a lot they can do that can impact things immediately, but they can certainly kind of push on what they can to try to alleviate some of this pressure that's kind of built in the housing market today.
You mentioned we're living in historic times, and that's one of the reasons that you wanted these data to kind of mark that. You know, it's not great living through historic times. But can you just, because I know I asked my parents, there was a recession in the 80s, how did interest rates compare? And I think they were at 18% or something like this. Businesses were closing, like it was a real recession. How is this different historically than that time, aside from the fact that the interest rates aren't that high?
Yeah, I think when you compare this, you know, cycle to what happened in kind of that late 80s, early 90s moment, is that debt levels are so much higher than they were at that time. So I think when you make that, like when we look at that comparison, it actually is pretty comparative in the sense that, you know, a house might cost $150,000 at that point in time, but now we're talking about housing at over $1 million in some cases, and we're seeing a lot of mortgages close to $1 million. So, you know, when we look at that, you know, it can be relative in the sense that we've seen such an increase to interest rates. And with debt levels being so high, not only for consumers, but for governments and for corporations, I mean, debt levels are at kind of all-time highs. So the impact of the higher rates should really help bring down just some of the demand, which is really all they're trying to do. And once they see that, they can start to lower them accordingly.
You're listening to Stoke FM. This is an interview with Andy Hill about the high cost of living. There are 7 minutes left in this interview.
Are we in a recession?
I think so. Okay. It's one of these interesting things, you know, generally speaking, unemployment would need to increase further for us to be in a recession, like a standard recession. But when you do look at a lot of the consumer spending, it has gone down a lot. And the retail sales numbers have gone down a lot. And so it is speaking to the fact that we are close to, if not in recession already. And the tough thing is that a lot of those things will kind of be looked back on. You usually don't really know where you are until you reposition yourself, over time. So it's almost like if you're at the top of a mountain and you're looking down, your perspective looks very different than if you're looking at, you know, the bottom of the mountain looking up. And, you know, when we were in the low of the cycle during the pandemic, no one really saw the inflation, but the inflation was there and it was starting and it was bubbling. And that's almost like where we are right now, where we're close to the end of this cycle and it's pushing all of those higher interest rates are really having their impact on the economy. But until we really start to see something break or something turn or, you know, some more headlines on it, we won't really know that we maybe were here now.
Right. And I just want to go back to, you said this is historical, or, you know, it looks, that's why you wanted to gather the data. Is it just the high cost of living and high interest rates and housing crunch that's historical, or is there something else that you're referring to?
Well, I think everything else
the
for
combo.
People, right? Yeah. I mean, just general cost of living is so much higher than it was a few years ago. And I think no one really has a crystal ball, but everyone's trying to determine if the pandemic, which was this, you know, giant global shutdown and giant increase of liquidity, you know, they just put out so much money into the economy. If that's created a secular change, so, you know, everything has changed and we're now in a new world, or this is some sort of transitory cycle and we may be returning back to, you know, close to the old normal. And I think the jury's still out on that. We're not really sure what is going to happen here over the next few years, but what we'll be able to do is in 2025 and 2026, potentially look back on this moment as, you know, hopefully a short-term cycle that we all kind of lived through.
And you mentioned with people, you know, wanting to buy things, and a response to that might be working more longer hours and working more. But would it be possible with this change to actually see wages go up to match the cost of living?
Yeah, I think that we're starting to see that with union agreements and other things that kind of permeate through. That's one of the issues that the Bank of Canada is really trying to keep under wraps, is that inflation can have this spiral effect. And we are seeing that today where, you know, if individuals are feeling the pinch, they then go to their employers and they say they need to be paid more. Their employers then pay them more and therefore need to charge more for their goods and services. And so that is a spiral that can sometimes get a bit out of control. It's one of the reasons why they're really trying to kind of put a lid on this thing as quickly as they can, such that individuals don't have to change a lot of what happens day to day, and therefore the employers and corporations don't need to charge more for their goods and services, which kind of creates that spiral.
Do you think that raising the interest rates like the Bank of Canada has over the past 18 months, do you think it was the right response to the type of inflation that we are seeing?
It's so hard to say, because they kind of they've got like a screwdriver to hammer in a nail. And they're really doing their best, but they just don't have all of the levers that they wish they had in order to make change across Canada. And then, you know, there's a number of central banks from the US to the European Union to the UK, and they all are kind of doing a similar thing. And so in terms of what we had to do to preserve our currency against the US dollar and against the euro and those sorts of things, the Bank of Canada really had to follow suit to a certain degree in order to kind of keep the global playing field all connected and together. So, you know, given where we came from, it was probably prudent. I think the one thing that everyone missed was that they should have started to raise rates sooner, and that probably would have allowed them to keep rates slightly lower than where they've gone today. I think things got a bit out of control, and then they had to act very quickly, which really impacted how high they had to go overall.
Andy Hill is a co-founder of RateFilter, based in Vancouver. Reporting for Stoke FM in Revelstoke, I'm Megan Dooling.